Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Here. Welcome to LA Catholic Morning. Todd Sylvester's there with me. I'm Ellen Taylor.
On this glorious feast day?
It is. I was going to introduce Mike and Reed before you jumped right to the feast day.
Sorry. I get excited. I get excited.
Catholic Saint Mark the Evangelist.
Yeah.
So we all know him.
Gospel writer.
Wrote one of the books.
Cousin of Barnabas.
The shortest book of the Gospel.
16 chapters.
Chapters.
Uh-huh. Shortest Gospel, right?
Yeah.
To the point. Here are the miracles.
There you go. Get
Jesus
right to
is God. Believe in him. Make amends to your life.
The cliff notes.
Let's get to heaven, shall we? That's what it's all about.
We just inform our listeners who may be wondering of the breaking news from yesterday. We had our pickleball rematch, and sadly, we lost 2 out of 3 to you and Sherry.
Sherry's good.
She was.
She's like the pickleball queen.
And yeah. Your serve was pretty good. You know, you overpowered the 5'1" twins, you know?
Wow.
Slamming it there.
Okay. Okay.
But I felt better when I came back to the office. Mike walked in and started reciting Nick Saban euphemisms.
This is the sad part. Yeah. After we played, we're like, okay, that was fun. Yeah. And then I went to install dishwashers. And I got home and my wife's like, did you guys play pickleball? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. We did. Completely out of my mind.
I know.
It was fun. And then I moved on.
I know. That's okay. Mike tried
We could have had a press conference.
Yes.
You know,
And
post game speech right here at the station.
Something about failure. It's not a.
Well, you can't waste a failure.
There. See, I knew. This was what I had in my office.
Certainly pleased with the effort. All right, but we got to get back on that court. All right, begin to dominate. It's a lifestyle. All right, not a word. All right.
So. We'll do a rematch in October when she comes back.
Sounds good.
Let's go.
Okay. So we'll open the day in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who raised up St. Mark, your evangelist, and endowed him with the grace to preach the gospel, grant, we pray, that we may so profit from his teaching as to follow faithfully in the footsteps of Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Alabama Smile Design, at 4720 Airport Boulevard in Mobile. With patient comfort and convenience, Alabama Smile Design offers general cosmetic and implant dentistry. Let's face it, life's better with teeth. Call 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com. Beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city.
News headlines for Thursday, April 25th. With graduations looming, student protesters doubled down early Thursday on their discontent of the Israel-Hamas war on campuses across the country as universities, including ones in California and Texas, have become quick to call in the police to end the demonstrations and make arrests. While grappling with growing protests from coast to coast, schools have the added pressure of May commencement ceremonies, and places like Columbia and Harvard universities have students defiantly erecting encampments on the parks and quad areas there.
Did you notice all the tents look exactly alike? I wonder if they were shipped or bought in bulk.
Donald Trump will be back in a New York City courtroom Thursday as his hush money trial resumes at the same time that the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments in Washington over whether he should be immune from prosecution for actions he took during his time as president. Trump faces a looming decision over whether he violated a gag order imposed by the judge on the hush money case, but he had asked to skip out on the criminal trial for the day so that he could sit in on the high court special session where the justices will weigh his efforts to reverse the 2020 election loss to Joe Biden. A Russian court sided with state-run lender VTB Bank in its efforts to recoup $439 million from JP Morgan Chase that the American lender froze in U.S. accounts after the Ukraine invasion. The court ordered the seizure of funds in JP Morgan's Russian accounts and movable and immovable property, including the bank's stake in a Russian subsidiary, according to a court order published Wednesday. And Pope Francis is reportedly considering returning to the United States in September to speak before the United Nations General Assembly. The news was initially reported by the French Catholic newspaper La Croix and has not been officially confirmed by the Vatican.
Mm.
And then in sports, the Heat surprised everybody and tied the series mm-hmm. against the Boston Celtics. And the Pelicans had a disappointing showing against the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. They will be returning to New Orleans down 0-2 in their series.
Ouch. Okay, that's a little hard.
Yeah, that's never good.
Mm-hmm.
On the line, we have Colleen Scariano, who is one of the founders of Soul Core, here to speak to us about the Movement for Mary. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. So for our listeners who missed the first time y'all were on, Soul Core, and you can connect with them at soulcore, CORE.com. Give us a little Reader's Digest version of what exactly Soul Core is, Colleen.
Sure. Soul Core is a new movement that intentionally engages the whole person in the sacred experience of the rosary by integrating the prayers of the rosary with stretching, strengthening, and functional movements so that we're nourishing body, mind, and soul all in one, and allowing people to help reflect more deeply on the virtues and the mysteries of the rosary.
And you may hate this association, but, you know, when I first showed it to my wife and she was looking at the video, she goes, oh, so it's like a Catholic yoga? I mean, I know you don't,
that was
you may
my
not
first
like
thought
that.
Too.
I know. You know, we do, obviously, you know, certainly, you know, sometimes when people just see an appearance of it, they might kind of make that assumption. And, you know, the assumption's okay because it gives us an opportunity to share about how Soul Core is different than yoga. So Soul Core is not yoga, nor do we include any Sanskrit or yoga poses. And Soul Core really has an opposite philosophy than yoga. We're obviously about not emptying the mind, but filling the mind with the life of Christ and you know, in some mysteries of the rosary, the life of the Blessed Mother. And it's really about, you know, our mission, like Our Lady's mission, is to draw everyone into closer relationship and a deeper relationship with Christ. So anything counter to that would be counter to our mission. So we like the question because it allows us to give the answer.
Sure, which is awesome, because I'll tell you, we've had some friends that have come and talked to my wife and said, I kind of feel guilty because I love getting together with these other ladies and I love the kind of the physical stretching and things, but I hate the origins and I hate, you know, sometimes the feeling that I have. Does that make sense, Colleen?
Yes, you know, and we've heard that same kind of sentiment over and over again. And one thing that's kind of sort of sweet is so many people have said to us that have discovered Soul Core have said, I prayed for something like this, maybe some who had done yoga or something similar, and then just were really unsettled by the spirituality of, but, you know, liked the physical movements and things like that and how it made their body feel. And so they're like, I've prayed for something like this. And so we know that Soul Core is the fruit of many people's prayers, mm-hmm. you know, before it was even came into fruition. So
I like what you've done it for the month of May of focusing on Mary and just incorporating what your mission is to share with our listeners what you are doing for the month.
Yeah, well, we love May because it's obviously a month that's dedicated to the Blessed Mother, and there's so many really wonderful opportunities. But one that we offer is called the Movement for Mary Challenge. And what we do is we challenge people to pray a decade of the rosary, at least a decade of the rosary a day, and then to move their body 30 minutes a day. And that can be in whatever way works for you, if that's walking, stretching, running, biking, you know, whatever it might be. And then offering not only our prayer, but also the physical movement in honor of the Blessed Mother. And this year, we're particularly excited because this is our third year doing it, and we've grown, you know, the number of participants has grown each year, and we've also added additions to the movement, kind of, you know, helping it evolve and grow. And one thing we're doing this year is we're focusing on some different titles of Mary. So we're going to be sharing a video that has offers a decade of the rosary with movement that people can do. And then with that, there will also be a reflection on a different title of Mary that the Virgin is honored through our church that people can learn and discover more about Our Lady and all these different options we have for her intercession.
All right, I know some people are listening right now going, okay, okay, I'm in. How do they get connected, Colleen?
Yeah, you know, one of the best places to do that is through our website, which you shared, soulcore.com. And right on the homepage there, we have a banner making it really easy for people to register for the Movement for Mary. And obviously, there's a lot of other resources to discover more about Soulcore as well.
And if they want to get together with other, you know, ladies to do this, how do they do that?
Well, you know, we always encourage it to invite other people to do this challenge with you as well. And so that would really be something we, as we said, those who register for the challenge will receive videos that they can do. Those will basically be for each weekday of May. But, you know, they can take their own initiative and get together with other people in their community, invite people to do this together, whether that's at parish or people's homes or outdoors, wherever it can be. But that's a great way, and we highly encourage that for people, you know, to do something together. We have a lot of we do have live local classes throughout the country, and we do have an offering in Alabama. Actually, our first leader in Alabama came on a little while ago, Juliana, and she's in Foley, Alabama. I hope I'm saying that mm-hmm. right.
Yes, that's yeah. Right.
And so we don't have specific live classes for the Movement for Mary because we're sort of challenging people to do that 30 minutes of movement, you know, in their own version of movement, whatever that might be. But certainly people organizing their own groups would be a great way to, you know, pray through the month of May through this challenge.
Do you have to have a certain fitness level to participate? Is it something you can, structure on your own, especially if you're doing it online with the classes? Because everyone's at a different level of what they can stretch
and bend. That is such a great question, and we get that all the time as well. And we always say, no, Soulcore is truly an invitation for everyone. Our primary focus are the prayers of the rosary. We do have some other prayer offerings that we do as well. So we'll always pray, but the physical movements can be modified to anyone's physical limitations or, you know, amped up to anyone's physical capabilities. When our leaders lead classes, whether that's through a video, digital offering, or a live offering, they always say that every movement is simply an invitation, and they offer modifications for people, and they also ask people, you know, to honor their body today and then offer, you know, choose their own modification. So, and we do, even on our online studio, there are so many different, a wealth of different variety of classes. So we have stretching, we have, you know, offerings that are done from a chair, we have post-pregnancy workouts, we have running, we have cardio, you know, so many different things. So there really is something for everyone that can find a movement that may, you know, work well to whatever their capabilities are. But the prayer will always be, that is our primary focus, and that will always happen.
What I love is just how incarnational this all is, Colleen, because, you know, it's something just feels so great when you can physically use your body and then offer that up to God, right?
It is, you know, and the Catechism teaches us, you know, we are created body and soul, and in order to give our full, I mean, really the greatest possible prayer to the Lord that we can, we really do need to engage the whole person, so including, you know, body, mind, and soul. And we really see that done, you know, most beautifully in the Catholic Mass, where we're engaged both, you know, in mind, body, and soul, and all the physical movements that we do throughout the Catholic Mass. So sometimes people can, poke fun at Catholics for that, but that's really such beautiful wisdom in that we fully are engaged, the whole person, through the sacred experience of the Mass. And we kind of are copycats of that in Soulcore, I would say.
Well, it seems good because it seems like something that is kind of needed. You know, a lot of women share what Angel had about yoga and such. In the 3 years that you've been going, this is the third year you're actually doing the Mary movement in May, or is it 3 years since Soulcore has started?
No, right, just 3 years for the Movement for Mary challenge. Soulcore, we've been around a little longer than that.
Okay.
And we're always evolving and growing, and so, but it really has become a beautiful offering for people. And really, you know, many of the testimonies that we receive from participants and those who've experienced it is they've never connected to the rosary in such a beautiful way. And again, I think that just comes from engaging the whole person in the sacred experience of the rosary. I think people often find that we always say that the rosary is a beautiful way to grow in virtue and cultivate interior peace. So I think particularly the peace that people experience through the prayers of the rosary, but then also when we engage, you know, the whole person through movement, there is really a peace that comes over and a calm that comes over the whole body. And something that's so needed in our culture today that, that has so much divisiveness and, you know, anxiety and really a culture that's filled with a lot of rushing and kind of constantly on the go and constant noise. Soul Core really is an opportunity for silence, calm, peace, and strength as well. So it offers a lot.
Amen. We're speaking with Colleen Scariano, one of the founders of Soul Core. You can connect with them at soulcore.com. Remind us of the origin story, Colleen, of you and Deanne. How did this whole thing get started?
Sure. Well, you know what? This came actually Soul Core, like so many beautiful things that our Lord does. It really was a fruit of suffering. And in my own life, you know, I was raised Catholic and had beautiful, faithful parents who had experienced suffering in their lives and throughout their marriage and family. And they were a beautiful witness to me of living out the faith and living out virtues through that and during that suffering. And so when I kind of encountered a series of tragedies in my own life where in a period of just 2 months, my mom died unexpectedly, and then just 2 months later, my dad and my brother died in an accident together. And it was a time of deep grief and really, you know, I was really broken at that point. And the rosary, and shortly after I started running and praying the rosary, that combination became an incredible healing instrument for me and really transforming my grief and kind of restoring me back to a sense of peace and even a return to joy through that series of. So that's really where, you know, that's really where kind of the seeds were planted. And then I went on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. And while I was there, a priest told me that, you know, Our Lady's going to have a mission for you when she sends you home. And I sort of wondered what was my mission. And shortly after returning from that pilgrimage, I like to say it was a huge inspiration of the Holy Spirit of combining the rosary with core strengthening. And I saw people praying the rosary like throughout the world, and people, I didn't have the name yet, Soul Core, but, and people praying throughout the world. I saw, you know, digital content and people nourishing body, mind, and soul. And then I partnered with Deanne Miller, the other co-founder, and together, you know, led by the Holy Spirit, we just created Soul Core, and it continues to evolve into what it is today.
I think what's beautiful about your testament is all of us are going to have those unexpected tragedies and challenges in life, and how we respond to them as bad as they are, but knowing that the grace of God is still in and working in our lives, and that we can, from out of this pain and this ash, give something back still. I think that's just a beautiful testament, and I think of all the women you've probably helped, and maybe even some men participate in these types of things, but that have really helped them along the way in ways that you will never know. So thank you for not turning into your pain, but recognizing it and creating something beautiful out of it too.
Oh, well, thank you for your beautiful words, and really thank, you know, the Lord really for his amazing opportunity that he gives us for restoration and renewal. One of our scripture verse that we have hanging in our Soul Core studio is Revelation 21:5, which is, "Behold, I make all things new." Mm. And that's really his desire in all of our lives, is to, you know, restore us where we're broken and wounded, and we're, you know, where sin is in our life. And you know, Soul Core is really a testament to that, of how he can do that, take, you know, suffering and pain and turn it into something beautiful, and especially something that is to be shared. And we know that grace given to us is never just for ourselves, but is meant to ripple out to others. So thank you so much for your kind words about Soul Core.
I'm sure the fruits have been beautiful, Colleen, right?
It continues to amaze us, just how the beauty and the fruit that God, you know, the work that he's doing through Soul Core. And, you know, as I share that it was a healing, the combination of the rosary and movement was a healing instrument for me. And it has become that for so many others. And that just the testimonies that we receive, how, you know, people are being transformed and restored through Soul Core. We continue to be amazed by it. And, you know, it just kind of shows that when we give our little yes, you know, to the Lord, even if it's kind of reluctant or, you know, resistant, and we don't feel equipped for whatever he's calling us to, just what he can do is so far beyond what, you know, what we can imagine. So I just, you know, that's another, you know, kind of message that we have with Soul Core, is just, you know, giving each day, just giving our little yeses to whatever God's calling us to that day. And in that way we imitate, of course, the Blessed Mother and one of our favorite mysteries of the Rosary, the Annunciation. So, that's kind of our encouragement for others as well.
That's beautiful. Soulcore.com. Join with them and help just get your mind and body together and pray during the month of May with them. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Colleen.
Bye-bye. Thanks. What a story.
I know. I'm checking out Julianne's connection here in Foley, Alabama.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Diane Montagna is joining the show. We're going to talk about it's 100 days since Fiducia Supplicans.
Really, 100 days?
I know. It seems like forever I buried it, but we're going to talk about that next. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. On the line with us is Diane Montagna. She's an American journalist living in Rome and accredited with a couple co-authorships, a book with Bishop Schneider on Christ's triumph over darkness of the age, and co-author with Father Gerald Murray on Calming the Storm. Good morning, Diane. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Good afternoon from Rome.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
You're already having your afternoon coffee.
I'd love some espresso right now.
You sure would. So it's been 100 days since the document came out, Fiducia Supplicans, which was about the same-sex blessings. I'm saying that in air quotes because it wasn't a blessing and it wasn't just for same-sex and it wasn't anything, really, I think.
Well,
on the break we were talking and I'm like, yeah.
I was like, what was the purpose? Why?
It's like, it's one of those things you put in the drawer and forget about. But you're going to bring to light on where we stand after this a short time, right?
Yes. Okay. So, you know, as you say, it's been a bit over 100 days since Fiducia Supplicans was issued. Listeners might remember that it was issued on December 18th, 2023, just before Christmas. It was not anticipated that it would come out. And it caused a lot of controversy all over the world with bishops' conferences, particularly in Africa, also in Central and Eastern Europe, from all over the world, who effectively were rejecting the document and rejecting the idea that the church could now bless homosexual couples. And they did get that idea from the document because the headings within the document spoke explicitly about blessings for homosexual couples. So their concerns were not without warrant, especially because just 2 years ago, there was, under Pope Francis, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith issued what's called a responsa, in which they said that blessings for same-sex unions are that the church has no power to bless these unions because she has no power to bless sin. And while, you know, afterwards, Cardinal Victor Fernandez, he's the head of now the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. It's been renamed from a congregation to a dicastery. And Pope Francis have both made clarification saying, well, this is really for individuals, not couples per se, not the unions. The document did say couples, and, you know, they're responsible, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith. Had they wished to phrase it in another way, they could have, but they chose not to. So it did raise a lot of controversy. And you had, especially from Africa, the bishops' conferences were reacting very strongly and rejecting it. So at a certain point, this is still, I believe, in December, the head of it's called the SECOM, which is an abbreviation for the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar. His name is Cardinal Ambongo. He's the president of it. And he saw what was happening around Africa. And so he asked the presidents of all of the local bishops' conferences to send him their opinions. He came to Rome in January and met with Pope Francis, who then instructed him to work with Cardinal Fernandez, again, the head of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, on a statement, which in the end effectively said, the bishops of Africa are not going to bless homosexual couples.
Okay, Diane, I got to tell you.
So that's a little bit up.
No, exactly. All right, and let me tell you, I'll give you a little bit of background on myself before I make this comment or question. I am a naive guy, and I try to assume benevolence with people.
Yes.
My wife says I look at the world in rose-colored shades because she's like, Todd, you're always trying to see the good in everything. Okay,
you're probably sanguine by
but when I read the document, when I read the document, I'm like, what on earth was the purpose? Like, I don't understand, because it created a straw man. Like, if ever people who struggle with same-sex attraction came to a priest and said, hey, can I get a blessing? There is no priest anywhere in the world that would say no, because you're stuck in sin. I mean, it's the point is that they would always give a blessing, but they wouldn't then try to have a ceremony like Father James Martin, right, Diane?
Well, you're absolutely right. And you know, I had mentioned that there was a lot of this document came as a shock, particularly in Africa. But afterwards, you know, at least Cardinal Mbongo said, you know, he said, if we had someone who is homosexual who comes to church, you know, we're going to welcome them. We don't welcome the sin as we don't welcome any sin, but we're going to welcome them. And it was never, the church had never said that someone who has same-sex attraction, if they came and asked a priest for a blessing, and presuming, you know, one is presuming that they're doing so because they want to convert, to deepen their own personal conversion and to live more deeply a Catholic life, no priest is going to refuse to bless an individual. The issue here is that the document, you know, what's the purpose of the document? Because the church has always taught, and even in this, in the responsa from 2 years ago that I mentioned, it reiterated that even though the church has no power to bless these unions, if an individual comes to a priest, of course, you know, in good faith, they can receive a blessing. So the issue was the document's use of, I mean, in the headings, it spoke of blessings for couples in irregular unions and couples in homosexual relationships. So I think that's where, you know, that's where the problem was.
Well, you're inviting confusion. I mean, it's
this whole thing was
like masking. To me, it gets to the point where you just want to say, all right, you're out of touch. No offense, but you're out of touch with the actual people who are sitting in the nave of the church. Like, come on, we're in the pews. And all you're doing is confusing people. So again, I go back to the question, Diane, what was the purpose?
I think the purpose, the purpose seems to be to normalize homosexuality among prelates who would like to see the church's teaching changed on homosexual acts.
Right.
And I think that is one thing, sadly, that is in the work, at work in the church today. If I can go back to sort of bring us up to kind of the present day, I'm sure that you both are aware, many of the listeners will be aware, that in early April, it was April 8th, the Cardinal Victor Fernandez, appointed by Pope Francis to be the new prefect of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, he presented a new document called Dignitas Infinita. It was on human dignity. He presented that at a Vatican press conference. It was the first time that he had appeared at a Vatican press conference since assuming his role as prefect. And, you know, normally as journalists we're told, you know, the questions, we're going to stick to the topic at hand, et cetera, et cetera. There won't be questions about other extraneous topics. Well, Cardinal Fernandez opened his remarks, 20 to 25 minute remarks, which is normal at a press conference that a prelate would, you know, have time to give initial remarks. He opened it by speaking about fiducia supplicans. And, you know, he drew attention to the fact that it was issued in the form of a declaration, which does have certain weight. And he said that the reason why that was done because maybe, you know, the last time that this was done, the declaration was issued by the CDF was under Pope Benedict. It was Cardinal Ratzinger, when he was the prefect, it was called Dominus Jesus, and it was an extremely weighty, important document. So Cardinal Fernandez says that, you know, while the content of this is not so important, it was issued as a declaration because Pope Francis wanted to introduce magisterial innovation on blessings so that he can expand, you know, our vision of blessings is to be expanded. And he has the power to do so, the cardinal said. So the press conference goes on, and within the document, based on human, you know, it's on human dignity, he was asked about the decriminalization put in terms of the decriminalization of homosexuality. But there aren't laws against homosexuality per se. Those traditional laws were called sodomy laws, and they outlaw certain sexual acts. So he was asked about this, and he said that yes, you know, that he is for the decriminalization of, he would, according to his words, the decriminalization of homosexuality. He was then asked by the AP, he said, given your stance on wanting the decriminalization of homosexuality, do you think it's time that it for your office to change the church's teaching on that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered? And he said, well, he said, you know, the language is, you know, it's very strong, and maybe we could be clear to say what we mean. And then he said, what we mean is that, you know, the most beautiful difference in the world in a relationship is between a man and a woman. And of course, a child can come from this difference. And then he went on to say that, you know, that homosexual acts cannot, and that even distantly, reflect the beauty of the relationship between man and woman, and that this is what we mean. And so maybe the language needs to more clearly reflect this mystery. He said nothing about homosexual acts being sinful. He only put it in terms of they don't quite approach or even distantly approach the beauty of marriage. So it does seem, you know, perhaps in Cardinal Fernandez's mind, and in, you know, there are certainly other prelates who have pushed for a change to the catechism and to the church's teaching on this. So I think ultimately this is what's at work.
It seems interesting to me, Diane, that at the opportunity to have the press conference on a document that was well received by Catholics and a lot of faithful Christians on infinite dignity, that he wouldn't even showcase that, but go back to the previous declaration on the blessings, which caused such a stir. And I think they realized it did not go over as well as they want. And every time they come out, sometimes at these press conferences or in conversation or interviews at the highest levels in the Vatican, they keep trying to, you know, recarve out what they meant by it. If you have to explain what something means again and again, and the clarification that wasn't really a clarification, it seems to me that maybe it might have been built on sand the first time. But they don't seem to recognize that. Whereas the Infinite Dignity document seemed to be true and incorporate all those things that are obvious to faithful Christians and particularly faithful Catholics on the dignity of, you know, of life, on euthanasia, on surrogacy, issues of the day that really still conform with our faith, instead of, you know, it just felt like they keep trying to redirect back to this blessing document.
Yes. Well, I mean, he said that he, in the days just before the press conference, he had been advised to bring up Fiducia Supplicans because, you know, he's got a room full of journalists. Naturally, they want to ask him about Fiducia Supplicans because this is the first time that he's appeared in public. So, you know, he dedicated the first few minutes to Fiducia Supplicans and then moved on. So, you know, the press conference was on Dignitas Infinita. Though I will say, you know, I think that people rejoiced in many of the affirmations that were made in that document, specifically about gender theory, about abortion, and about sex change surgeries and things of this sort. All that said, and you know, those are very good elements. There are questions. There are theological questions about saying that every human being, by their nature, has infinite dignity. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas taught that, you know, only God has infinite dignity. Mm. And it's only Christ in his human nature. You know, Christ is the only man who has infinite dignity by nature, that we can have a somewhat either potentially or actually through the grace of baptism, we can share in that infinite dignity. But there are questions about that document. I think that it hasn't gotten so much criticism because there were good things and there were, you know, affirmations that Catholics and others were waiting to hear from the Catholic Church about things like gender theory and abortion. So just to say.
That's funny because I'm looking at Todd across from me, Diane, and he said the same comment as you when the document came out. The word infinite is
words
misused.
Words are important.
They are important. And, you know, the church has never taught that man by nature has infinite dignity. I mean, someone called that blasphemy. And I'm not saying that it's that, but we should, you know, we need to know our faith and we need to study our faith and be able to take, say, from this document, what is good. You know, on that same day, France had just written into their constitution that abortion was, you know, a human right. Mm. So certainly, it's very good that the church was speaking out on abortion and on gender theory, mm-hmm. Particularly with everything that's happening in the U.S., where it seems to be at its worst. But we do need to know our faith because there are questions about other, you know, theological assertions in the document.
You're so right. Amen. Diane Montagna, thanks so much for joining us and breaking that down for us. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Diane.
Thanks. Yes.
Thanks.
Great to be with you.
Have Bye-bye. A great day.
Mercy.
Oh, man. Good she's around. Oh, Blogosphere's next, Todd.
Woo!
There was a little controversy this week. Catholic Twitter. Well, X. But AI, where is it going? How much do we embrace it? Something went terribly wrong and they had to pull it back. We'll explain next on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
And my heart lives by the bay.
I am the modern man.
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
Who hides behind a mask?
Secret, secret, I've got a secret.
Oh, welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Here it's the Thursday Blogosphere segment where we take a look at faith and culture, usually somewhere online where it went horribly wrong. And
where it went horribly wrong.
It sure did this week. Now, the greatest of ideas, and we talk about this sometimes, did they bounce this off other people?
Not like a regular person.
Yes.
Like I would have loved to just been a consultant on this one.
Yes.
Because what I would have recommended, and first tell the listeners what we're talking
about. So Catholic Answers, and they run Catholic.com, a website for many years. They do the show in the afternoon. Really good organization, smart people. They came up with a stinker. So they launched an AI avatar and bot called Father Justin that was going to be able to answer people's questions about Catholicism. I guess they were just trying to get on with how we can use technology to evangelize. All good.
Which is not a bad idea.
Yes.
But they didn't realize they stepped over a line. Like, this is my recommendation.
Uh-huh.
I would have said, have it be like a cute little emoji avatar and call him like Catholic nerdy.
Yes.
You know, something approachable. Something because as soon as you go, oh, it's a priest.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. Then people tried to go to confession.
They did. And see, that's what happened. People are going to come in there and test the boundaries, particularly as AI, as it moves out further and deeper into our culture and stuff. So someone even posted the transcript of basically the AI Father Justin going through all the rhetorics of confession, saying all the words, and it was kind of amazing.
So is it a valid confession?
Yeah, right.
That's a trick question.
I know. And one of the things that it was like, so they open up the AI bot, and the father, Justin Bott, says, I'm here to answer any questions. And it says, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I've had anger in my heart about the deployment of AI chat bots on my Catholic website. So they were kind of doing it in jest, but they wanted to see how it would go.
I understand your frustration, my child.
Yes.
Remember.
I know.
Come on.
And then I think it tried to give her a prayer at the end and possibly absolution.
Oh.
Well, anyway, within 24 hours, Catholic Answers realized that this was a hot mess out there. The feedback from the Catholic community, Pillar Catholic wrote a piece on it. It just went horribly wrong. So they, late yesterday, they polled it. It didn't even last. I think it's launched on Monday. By Wednesday, the thing was polled. And they said they do like the idea of an AI chatbot answering questions. But I think to your point, it's just going to be something more, in the layper. It's not going to have any sort of religious title, a priest, or that's going a little bit too far.
Yeah, that's where you've stepped over the line.
Right. I mean, it certainly can be a bot that could answer questions about Catholicism.
And of all people, yeah, they should know this kind of stuff. Like, mm-hmm, I remember learning in theology class that you could not go to confession over the phone.
Yes. Yeah.
And mm-hmm, and that was before you could even do the video stuff, uh-huh, you know, yeah, or the FaceTime or... Uh-huh. Or all the rest of the video ways, you couldn't do it that way. And people are like, well, why not?
Right.
Because Christ wants you there personally,
yes,
with the person, because that person is representing Christ. There, that's what the same reason why you can't go to confession via telephone. Or write a letter. You know, a telegram.
And that was a question that came up during the lockdowns and the COVID situation. People were like, oh, we're doing everything online. And even that was the call to get back to in-person mass.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot do many of these things. We are
spiritual communions.
Anyway, the CEO of Catholic Answers said that they're just going to have to take their lumps. They realize they made a mistake. And they are going to, they said they haven't given up on AI as a useful tool, but that was not it. But it got me thinking yesterday too, when we were talking about this, because we had a lot of fun yesterday. And I was thinking about that, this need to see each other face to face.
Amen.
Our human interaction is such a part of us. It cannot be replaced by technology. It cannot be
replaced. They're
trying to, though. Yes. And they think it's a worthy substitute. But I've been talking all week about my twin sister coming to town. And, you know, it's only a couple times a year. You know, we live in different parts of the country, but we always make the time, probably at least 3 different weeks out of the year, to get together.
Nice.
You know, she'll come here twice, and just in my work schedule, I go see her. Oh, no, 4 times a year, because I go see her twice too.
Yeah.
So we make a point, 4 weeks, you know, practically every season, we spend a week in person with each other. And you are leaving today on a family trip in the RV, and you are going to physically see 3 of your children on this journey. You're bringing the rest of the family along. These kind of moments cannot be replicated online, and they are so important, I think, to our mental health, our spiritual life, our sense of belonging, our joy in our existence. Even though I don't have my sister around with me full time, and you don't have some of your kids here full time, there is such a joy when you get to go experience those moments in person. So I would encourage people, as much as we can use technology for what it is, maybe think about who you haven't seen, who you really care about, and go make that step to go see them in person, in some physical way. Reconnect, whether it's a sibling you don't see often enough that lives across the country, a grandchild, a grown child. You know, you just get busy doing things, and, oh, I'll make a trip later. Or later might be too late.
Yeah. Amen.
And I think it's really important. I know the great joy I've had this week. And I know the great joy you're going to have on your trip, too. And I think that that is essential, that we bless our lives with those moments. They cannot be replicated in any way.
And even, you know, don't try to put a valuation on the experience per se. Like when my mom was still alive and she was bedridden for the last 5 years of her life, I would go and visit her and I would literally just lie in the bed next to her.
Yeah.
You know, she was in a king size bed and she was, you know, propped up and we would watch the tennis channel.
Oh, wow.
Like for hours and hours.
Love that.
And hours.
Yes.
You know, matches that we had seen, you know, years ago. I love the replay matches. McEnroe versus Lendl, you know. I mean, it was just fun to watch. And those were great memories. So when I would come home, if people said, hey, what'd you do with your mom?
Nice.
I lied in bed next to her and watched TV. That, you look at that and you're like, what a waste of time. That's kind of what people would associate. And I'm like, those are some of the fondest memories that I have of the end of my mom's life. The fondest memories, you know. So being with one another, you know, being able to cheer on a tennis player, some of these tennis players might even be deceased, you know, for all I know. But you're cheering them on and being able to share, you know, potato chips. My mom loved Lay's classic potato chips. They still make me think of her. So it's those little things that I think we're forgetting how valuable that being together really is.
It is. And we push it aside because we're busy. We have things. I can't travel now. Oh, I hate traveling or airports or whatever it is. All of those discomforts can be overcome for that connection that maybe you don't have with other people. Maybe you need to go travel to get that human connection and closeness because the people that you have closest to your heart are not physically nearest to you. And that's okay. Sometimes they say, oh, I got to fly there. I hate flying. Nobody likes, okay, people, nobody likes flying these days. Just going to tell you that. It's not a joy, but it's kind of what we have to do to go see some of the people we love that maybe can't travel. Maybe your kids are working and have young kids at home, and it really is a burden to travel. But maybe you're retired, and you could get it would take less effort for you to get there to go experience that moment.
Well, sometimes it's a lot of effort.
Like
this whole trip has just been crazy, just the preparation.
I know.
And we haven't even started yet. We're leaving today, this morning after Mass, you know, climbing in the RV.
But all that preparation will bring you great joy when you're out on the road.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's
going to be a great time. And we're forming wonderful memories. You know, the last time we went on a trip like this was a year ago, and the kids are already recounting all of those stories. So.
That's what we do. Family trips are great. Maybe something to think about for people planning summer trips this year. It's not getting to the theme park or something like that. Maybe it's going to see an elderly relative.
Nice. Nice.
So we leave it there. AI cannot replace humanity.
Indeed.
We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Ike's Parasail, locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and Perdido Key. Ike's Parasail is a water sport rental and recreation company serving Alabama and the Florida Gulf Coast. To make your vacation a thrilling and unforgettable experience, call 251-981-0055. Ike's Parasail, come fly away. Mike, what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, Tom McDonald talks about the previews of the film One Life with Sir Anthony Hopkins. Chad Barwick joins us to talk about the School Choice Act, and Deacon Todd Martin has our Sunday Gospel Reflection.
Okay.
Hope everything goes well here. I'll be back Wednesday morning.
You will. You're leaving me on my own here.
I am.
Hold down the fort.
I am, because I'm going to visit my kids.
Every question. Have a great
Thank
time.
Thank you. Thank you. Philip gets one annual family visit, so this is it.
Oh, okay. Then you bring everybody that fits in that RV, and you get up there.
We are, including my daughter's dog.
See?
This will be fun.
Hey,
thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.